This is the Self-Taught or Not podcast with
Dylan Israel
and Eric Hanchett, where we teach you the do's and don'ts of software development from two software development professionals, one self-taught and one not.
Hey, before we begin, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. And today, actually, that sponsor is me. My name is Eric, and I teach a lot of different programming courses, but one of my favorites is on Vue.js. If you don't know Vue, it's a really cool JavaScript framework. It's really simple to get started, and I have this really extensive, amazing class. If you go to course.vuecourse.tech, you can actually sign up on my email list. I will let you know when the course is out, but I'll give you the first chapter of my book for free, which is awesome. So just go to course.vuecourse.tech, put your email address in, and you can start learning Vue now. Let's begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to be talking about Vue, which is one of the big three, as I like to call them, in terms of front-end frameworks.
Vue.js is near and dear to my heart. I have dedicated a lot of time and energy, not just with working with Vue.js, but teaching other people Vue. So I'm excited about this episode. I love to hear how Dylan likes Vue and his experiences with it too. So how about we begin there? So I know you had a job a few jobs ago that you guys are using Vue. So what was your initial impressions? How did that start? Tell me the story. How did you like Vue.js? And then we'll get into more what Vue.js is.
Yeah, Vue is very interesting. It reminded me quite a bit of AngularJS or Angular 1 in the fact of just sort of how it was set up. I really enjoyed it. And I used a separate library that added decorators and helped to integrate TypeScript a little bit cleaner. And it sort of reminded me of Angular at that point. The hardest part about Vue for me was just understanding the different definitions. I remember there was, I forget the name of it, but there's essentially something in Vue 2 where it was a git, like a property git, but they called it something else that would render on update. And then I had to sort of at times connect what this term was to my relation in other frameworks. But I really enjoyed it. It was a simplistic framework coming from something like Angular.
Was it a computed property, maybe?
There you go. Computed property. Yeah. I was like, what the hell is a computed property? And I was like, oh, it's just a git. Like, it was super complicated. But you go through and you start watching these things and you start looking at them and sometimes in programming, we have these things that they just want to use big terms. Like in object-oriented programming, you hear things like inheritance, polymorphism, encapsulation. And you're like, damn, those are some scary big words. And I kind of felt like that a little bit with some of the terminology when diving into Vue the first time. But honestly, it's of the three major, in my opinion, having worked in Angular, Vue, and played around in React, I think it's the most simplistic. And not to say it's not powerful, but simplistic in its design.
I think that's one of the things that people see when they first start Vue they really like, is because you don't have to know JavaScript. So you have to know some JavaScript, but I think one thing a lot of people say when they start React for the first time, it's like, wow, it's just like I'm using JavaScript in my HTML. As long as you know JavaScript, you can use React, which I have used React in the past. That's not necessarily 100% true. You do need to know more than just JavaScript to use React, because there's quite a few Reactisms. But in the Vue world, it's literally you have this template at the top. You have like this script tag in the middle where you have your Vue instance and you have your data properties and you have computed properties, which, by the way, they're very similar to getters, but they're also cached, which is not a concept that you have in Angular or React. There is a way to do it in React, but it's not called computed properties. So it does have these kind of, I guess you call them Vueisms if you want, but it's very simple the way it's set up, because instead of having to learn how to use JavaScript maps and reduces and for each loops, I mean, you're using these directives, these V-dash directives that you put inside your templates to do things. Inside you have scoped CSS in each one of your single file components. So your CSS, your HTML, your JavaScript are all in one file. I know that you, I think I remember correctly, you weren't a big fan of that at first.
Yeah, no, I am not. So to add context, Angular, for instance, which I've worked in quite a bit, and Eric has as well, when you are creating a component, you will have a separate style sheet, you'll have a separate HTML sheet, files rather, and same thing with your controller logic, your JavaScript. Vue, at least at the time, would have it all as one. You essentially would have a single file, and it would be, you know, styles, HTML, and your logic. And the idea, the argument there, as I understand it, is that it's a single purpose, right? This HTML, this CSS, and this logic is all related, and thus it should be in the same file. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I like to break it out, which you can in Vue, but it's not typically done that way.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can kind of break the conventions of Vue and do things like that and put them into separate files. It's funny talking about this with the React community. They're kind of in the middle. Like Vue's like, put it all in one file. And Angular's like, let's have three different files. And then React's like, okay, we have style components and they're all sort of in one file, but they're all in kind of different places. And it's kind of a different way of thinking. Maybe there isn't a great medium between all three. But the point being, I really think it's one of the easiest frameworks that beginners can learn when they're first starting off, because you don't have to know some of these advanced concepts. There's quite a few layers of Vue, because if you start looking deeper, it does get more complicated. It has a whole API set that has a lot of cool things into it. It's also, they call it the progressive framework, and I know some of the other frameworks do this too, but you can just add a CDN tag to any project, and then you can just add Vue to any project really simply and easily. You don't have to have the whole kit and caboodle with it. You don't have to create it using a CLI, though you can if you want to. So it kind of gives you more flexibility in that world. Like in Angular, I've heard from John Papa's mouth, who's a big guy in the Angular community, that you can create an Angular app using Angular's CDN tag and just somehow add quite a few components. Like it's really hard to create it from scratch, but it is possible. But I'd say that is almost... It's very rare that you hear anyone actually doing that. On the other hand, Vue is very simple to just add to any existing project, because you can literally just throw a CDN tag, just grab the JavaScript, throw it into your project, and get going right away.
Yeah, and it's nice for like starter projects. I personally don't rely on CDNs for anything. So if we're using an external dependency, I'll always install it into the project. The idea being that I want my build to, once it's built, to have everything. And I personally would feel the same way if I was building a production level application, I'll do that. But I think the CDN approach, when you're like, hey, I'm just trying to learn or I'm just trying to build something for fun, it's completely fine. I don't think it really matters once you get into the workforce, because you're going to have so many external dependencies at that point that, oh, hey, I'm using Vuex, for instance, for state management, or I'm using this PWA library or whatever it may be, that at that point you're going to have some sort of package JSON that's installing something or another, and you might as well just use the Vue CLI to generate your project or, you know, install its dependencies.
So maybe that's how it works out. So maybe if you're starting off learning web development, you start off with just throwing that CDN tag in until you get kind of comfortable with just how to create a Vue app just from scratch. And then when you get a little bit more involved, then you create a package.json, you do an npm init or yarn init or whatever it is, and you create it that way, and you just npm install Vue and Vuex that way. And then when you feel more comfortable, and maybe you've done that in a few projects, you use Vue CLI, which is then that gives you everything, and asks you a bunch of questions, and you can create apps that way. And in fact, Vue CLI is the command line interface for Vue. There's something really cool with Vue that they just released last year, which is Vue UI. So if you are scared of the command line, which I know a lot of new developers are, because on top of having to learn how to program, now they have to learn how to change directories and run Git from the command line. And have you ever met with some of these developers that don't know the command line at all, but somehow they are able to do their job? I don't know. This tangent.
Yeah. I have a buddy who drives me nuts that likes to use Git Kraken, which is a fine Git tool and whatnot, but he doesn't do anything special with it. Like, you know what I mean, like sometimes when you install these tools, I wonder why not just do a Git checkout? You know what I mean? Like it's so simple. And I'm not somebody who knows, you know, Windows PowerShell or anything like that. I typically learn the bare minimum I need. And generally speaking, to use the command line, you need to just know how to get to a folder structure and then usually do whatever CLI command that you're going to use. But I typically like to avoid any external tools if possible.
Yeah, me too. And I'm not trying to shame those people that don't know CLI. But back to the point I was trying to make is I just find it interesting. There's still like developers that have been out there, have been working in the web or back in development for 15 years and still don't know the CLI. But
I mean, to your point, my main issue with that is similar to what my main issues are for a lot of these sort of, hey, I always install Git Kraken or I always install this, is that if you were to ask them the fundamentals behind what Git Kraken is doing or what this tool that you're installing to avoid doing, you know, one, two, or three tasks, a lot of times it's a crutch to where they don't even know what's going on. They don't understand, you know, that you're staging something, then committing, and then checking out, or that you're merging. And they just are like, listen, I click this button, then I click this button, and I click that button, and it magically works. And that's usually where those additional tools drive me a little nuts.
Going to that point, Vue UI is sort of like a very simple interface where you can just click a button. It serves the files. You can add plugins really easily, so you don't have to jump into the command line. But it's a pretty neat interface, and maybe that's like the next level you can learn. So that's kind of where the progressive ideas come from, the progressive framework. Now, people in the React world, and they're probably saying, well, we could do the same thing. We just don't advertise as much that we can do that, which is true, but it's definitely a different kind of take on it.
It seems a little strange to me, because all these frameworks have Angular as well, where, hey, here's this GUI that you click and will generate a component for you or whatnot. It seems a little strange to me at times to have these tools. Like, they seem like tools for people who aren't developers, almost. Does that make sense? Like, this is sort of something that if we needed to make something for somebody who couldn't learn something from documentation, this is how it is. I don't know. This seems a little strange to me, these tools.
I mean, yeah, I guess where, you know, it's fine, I guess. I mean, there's a tool for people that really want to use it. And if it makes sense to them, that's okay. I feel like sometimes we're designing things for non-developers, and that's okay too. Let's talk a little bit more about, so we've talked about your experiences with Vue. Were you able to get some of those Vue apps? Were they running in production, or did the project get canceled before it?
Yeah, so there was a beta. Basically, I worked in Vue for about 3 or 4 months before I got laid off. And the project was really cool, actually. It was a progressive web app, and we had Vuex for state management, and I really enjoyed it. But yeah, I went out there into the world, into the beta, into the business, and it was a lot of fun. I did like it quite a bit, to be honest.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, one thing that I want to touch upon is the kind of the adoption of Vue. And I'm looking at the JavaScript. There's all these surveys that come out every year. One of them is the state of JavaScript survey. And you can definitely see that Vue is gaining momentum. A lot of people have tried it. We'll try it again. A lot of people have seen it. I think at this point, Vue is definitely not on the same terms of popularity as something like React, but it's still pretty popular, and it's still pretty it's still gaining momentum is what I'm trying to say. I mean, the GitHub stars are pretty high. There is this kind of just grassroots momentum that just continues on with it. So you're starting to see a lot more jobs being opened up for Vue. There's a lot more interest being opened up for Vue. I don't know. What do you think?
So I've had a thought for a while that Vue is going to start pulling, I got, I don't know if jobs or resources from the React community. Like, I, to me, Angular's too structured for people to like it, which is why I like it. It's very opinionated. React is a little bit more, lets you do your own thing, which people really like it. And Vue is the most simplistic of all of them, which I would say a big critique of the front end is that it's constantly changing and it's becoming very advanced very quickly. It definitely seems like the complexity of front-end applications have increased in a very exponential path compared to other parts of the software development lifecycle. And I think that simplicity, that ease of getting up and running, is a big selling point. And I think that's for a lot of things. I think you take JavaScript, for instance, and be like, hey, I want to learn JavaScript. How can I do? Open the console. You can just start typing it. That's not true for a lot of other languages. If you want to get up and running and, you know, let's say you want to do Python, you got to install Python. You got to get a IDE that then compiles, or C# or whatever it is. That simplicity definitely has a point to play in selling it to developers and selling it to aspiring developers, and really making it very attractive. But I do see a very bright future for Vue, in the sense that I don't expect it to go away anytime soon. But I think that will be, we'll find out when Vue 3 comes out, because sometimes you have an update and a change, and it can really change people's perspective of the technology.
So that reminds me, so we have Vue 3 coming up, which is a almost completely additive update. It's going to add some cool things. It's going to deprecate some parts, but nothing major, I would say. So I think the upgrade path from Vue 2 for Vue 3 will be very non-consequential for most apps out there, unless you are like all the way back in the Vue 1 days and your app is really outdated. So I think Vue 3 is going to be an easy upgrade path. What I'm questioning, though, is why is it that React, and no offense to the React people, I love React as a framework, why is it the de facto standard for all boot camps out there? Why is it that when anyone gives advice to new web developers, we're always telling them, you should learn React? And it's almost like we, every other framework, every other thing out there, we don't teach new web developers nowadays. We teach them HTML, CSS, JavaScript, React. And so why don't we, you know, as a community, starts being like HTML, CSS, JavaScript, we touch on React. Obviously, it's a popular framework. So we're not saying we don't touch on it, but let's look at Vue.js. Maybe we look at Svelte. And there are jobs for these things out there. I don't know. I feel like the idea out there that we only teach React, React is the end-all, be-all, is kind of the wrong approach. And I just wish that as things move forward, maybe in 2020, 21, 22, these coding boot camps will start teaching more than just React.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the sentiment, but I think from a very practical point, I say this as somebody who doesn't really like React but recommends that people learn React, is that that's where a good portion of front-end framework-related jobs are. It happens being React. I think if you were to see, and I think the reason for that is Angular 2. I really think that for a while, when it was AngularJS and React, that they were sort of about even, give or take in either direction. Angular 2 came out, people hated having TypeScript shoved down their throats, and they hated that their previous apps weren't bad. There's no way to really make them backwards compatible. And React sort of gained this foothold that's going to be hard to chip away at. But from these boot camps perspective, which maybe, you know, 8 years ago or whatever, that when Angular 1 was around, they were teaching both, or at least introducing you to both. Nowadays, they're looking for something that is, you know, they live and die by if their students get jobs. That's really, it's a word of mouth business, and you have to teach what people are hiring for. And as someone who gets hit up every single day about roles in this space, 9 times out of 10, it's React. So I think that's just the direction that's going to go until something changes in that arena.
Yeah, maybe it's just it'll take time as more and more companies start hiring more Vue developers. It may be that idea like React or nothing will kind of be, I don't know, it'll start fading away. And who knows, in 5 years, that's like 100 years in technology and web development time. You know, things could be totally different than what it is today. Let's move on to talk about what Vue.js is. So I'll get off my soapbox about coding bootcamps not teaching Vue. And also, by the way, if you're listening right now and you know of a coding bootcamp or any tutorial places that are teaching Vue for like new web developers, you know, let me know. Tweet us. You can tweet me at EricCH. I'd love to hear like what maybe there is some places out there that have started kind of opening up their curriculum to other frameworks and see what else is out there. And I would also think too that, you know, if we're to, every single bootcamp is teaching React, I mean, you're just gonna have a flood of, honestly, like not very like junior devs that aren't very good at React out there. No offense to them, they're working their butts off, but it would seem like if you could find a niche, and this goes back to our last week's call, we were talking about do you go broad or do you niche? But if you had like some specialization in something other than just broadly React, maybe that'd help you get your, maybe it'll help you get a job. Maybe not your first job or maybe your second job. All right. So Vue.js, the way, like I said, I mentioned it's the progressive framework and it has this kind of declarative rendering style. So it's reactive, meaning that you can use these double curly brackets, kind of looks like this mustache syntax, they call it, with these double curly brackets. And that's where you render data inside your DOM. And you can have, it can be bound to your Vue instance. So this is kind of hard to explain over a podcast, but essentially once you add Vue to your app, you can create Vue instances. And in the instances is where you tell Vue like what data you're going to be using in your app, and then that data will then be rendered into your app. And you can either do this one-way data bound or even two-way data bound, meaning that when you make changes to the app, it will update or make changes inside the HTML, or it'll update inside your kind of inside your the Vue instance in the JavaScript. And then when you make changes in the JavaScript, it'll update in your template. And so That's kind of the basis of how Vue works at a high level. And then you have what are called directives. And you can have directives to do anything from conditionals. And by the way, I'm clicking on the side. Sorry if you guys can hear it. I'm looking at some documentation while I'm talking to you guys. But there's conditionals and loops where like v-if is like a conditional and loop. There's v4 loops. Well, excuse me, v-if is like a conditional, but v-4 is like a loop that you can use. You can set up user input and you kind of create your apps that way. Now, one question I've heard before from a lot of people is, do you use components in Vue? And essentially, Vue is just created with a bunch of different components in mind. So your whole app is different components. So you can really structure your app the correct way by using these components and kind of putting them together in different puzzle pieces.
Yeah, and one thing we've been talking about the framework of Vue, and we haven't even mentioned that, you know, you might have heard the term SPA or single page application, and Vue definitely falls into that category, as does React and Angular. And it's sort of what defines a SPA in that aspect is not only the two-way binding and the one-way binding Eric described, but also the routing, right? So one of the cool features of Vue and all these other frameworks is the single load, right? Hence the single page application is that once you load one page, you're either maybe lazy loading stuff in the background, or you have this routing aspect where we're only re-rendering a certain part of the page and we don't have to reload that all that JavaScript and all that content again because we already have access to it.
Yeah, so everything gets pulled down in the initial load. Now you can do things. There's things called like lazy loading where routes only get loaded when they're used or they get prefetched in the background so that way they don't cause any issues when your app loads for the first time. So there are kind of modern ways of making your app quicker and make it work better that way. There's also Vue's ecosystem is pretty big. There is what are called Vue frameworks. One of the biggest ones is called Nuxt. Nuxt is the server-side rendered universal application creator for Vue. So that gives us, with Nuxt, you can create Vue apps. And I think this is probably the most popular framework for Vue. You can either create Vue apps using Vue CLI, or you can create them using Nuxt. And when you use Nuxt, you can kind of get three different options of three different types of apps you want. You can create a single page application app, like Dylan just mentioned, where kind of all the JavaScript's loaded for you, loaded down on the initial page load. But then you can use the universal way, which is server-side rendered. So it's almost like you have a Node app running. You have a Node app running in the background that then delivers the initial payload, which is basically just the initial HTML CSS to the browser. So it loads up really quickly. And then the JavaScript and everything else is loaded in the background afterwards. Kind of sometimes they call it hydrates in the background. And then the third way you can use Nuxt is you can have it pre-render or generate your whole app. So instead of having this big chunk of JavaScript that gets loaded down into your browser, what it does is it creates a bunch of directories and then creates HTML and CSS files for you. And it's called kind of static generated is another word you might hear. And it creates this directory structure and it makes it really, really quick. And then when you navigate around, you just click on any one of the routes and then they end up getting loaded.
Yeah, and one thing to note, because I've got this question a couple times before, is what is the main difference between loading a app client side or loading it server side, like Eric just mentioned? So traditionally, when you're playing around with these client side frameworks, these SPAs, they're loading client side, which means that the person using your web app on your site, they're actually going to be downloading it. It's going to be their computer processing it. And two things happen. One, it's less load on your server. And two, it goes at the speed at which that PC or that mobile device can handle. Now, the server side is going to typically be able to run faster than the device that's there, and it's going to be served up from the server already sort of compiled and ready to go. And there's another benefit to that in the sense that typically your SEO or your search engines, they have trouble picking up on some of the items that they have their logic for these client-side rendered ones. But the SEO aspect is probably the largest reason that server-side rendering is used, but does increase the cost because now it's getting built on your server or on the business's server, which they have to then account for.
Back in the day, to Dylan's point, everything was server rendered. So these frameworks didn't exist, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. So the way it used to work is you would have these servers that would just have these static generated HTML and CSS files. And as you navigated through your app, it would just download each kind of page on its own onto your browser. And then you would have all this like PHP logic or this other server-side rendered logic kind of embedded into your HTML files. And that's how it worked. And kind of really recently in the last 10 years, maybe 2010, is when everyone started going crazy about single page application frameworks and things started popping up. I mean, some people think jQuery, I guess you consider that sort of a single page application framework, but not really. But I think that started the trend in like the mid 2000s.
Here's a question for you. SPAs have been such a thing for so long, and I don't really see anything that's sort of kicking it off its pedestal. If you know what I mean, like from a technology perspective, having these frameworks with the single page applications just seems to be the thing. It does, and I haven't really heard anybody talking about something that's really going to kick it off their pedestal. And I've thought about this a couple times. Like theoretically, what would be something that would provide more value in that sort of arena? And I haven't been able to come up with anything. I don't know if you have any thoughts about this.
I think people are seeing though that just using like Vue by itself, Angular or React by itself is fine for most applications. And then when you start getting to more complicated apps that have hundreds of different routes, then you have problems with bundle sizes and you're having to load a ton of information into the client side. And that's where like lazy loading routes and this universal application stuff comes really in handy, or pre-rendering your routes, doing static generation. I know the only other thing I can think of that will kind of knock it off the pedestal is this kind of idea of the Jamstack, which I have to look up the ZAC acronym, but essentially where you're creating websites that are using asynchronous JavaScript in the background to grab information. So there's things like Gatsby and GridSum, which basically grab all the data from a server, usually using GraphQL, and that gets preloaded, and then it spits out a pre-rendered website that's really, really fast. And then anytime you want to make changes to it, you have to basically compile the site again, and then it spits out the new data. So it's not synchronous, asynchronous. So maybe something like that in the future will be more popular. This kind of this Jamstack idea where you're talking like headless WordPress websites and things like that, where your front end is just grabbing data from another location and then displaying it. I don't know, just a thought.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because from a technology perspective, it definitely feels like this core framework SPA, you know, client-side app might sort of, it seems to have dominated for what is a clearly large defined amount of time, I guess. And it doesn't feel like it's going to be changing in the next couple of years. And I wonder sometimes when that starts to happen, are things slowing down in terms of innovation, which is okay. We definitely, you know, in technology, things, people are so quick to jump ship and try this and try that, and this is the next thing. And we had a lot, especially in the front end, there's so much room for improvement over the last decade that maybe we finally have sort of hit this stride where we've sort of figured out a few of these few of these issues that we have had on the client side, and we're starting to sort of fill in the gaps.
I hope so. I hope things slow down a little bit. Things are moving so quickly. I've been on my in between doing front end work, I've been deep diving more into the back end. I used to do the back end work for a while, and even just being out of it for the last 3 years doing mostly front end work, I'm just seeing all these new patterns and all these new things happening. And then looking at the DevOps side and trying to follow the different technologies that are happening in the DevOps world, I'm like, whoa, what is this new containerization that you're doing through Docker and Kubernetes? And then you're trying to, like, I can't follow it all. Let me pull this back to Vue though for a second. Unless you want to finish that thought real quickly, Dylan.
I was just going to say, it's funny that you bring up the DevOps aspect of it, because that to me reminds me of very much what the front end has been like for the last, you know, decade or so, where DevOps is a field in which it's sort of been exploding, and they're now sort of defining these core technologies and standards of how DevOps should be. And it's to me, there's a lot of parallels that go along with that. I just found that very interesting that you brought that up, because that's what I've thought, sort of, that DevOps is where the client side was like a decade ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like it's still, there's still so many technologies and stacks, and every company's doing it a little bit differently right now. It's not quite as universal. Like right now, just like we said, when you talk about web development and people trying to learn web development and they're trying to learn their first framework or library, if you want to point that out, because React is technically a library, then people are always saying React, Vue, Angular. Like, those are the three. And now in the Vue, and I don't know enough about DevOps, but from what it feels like in the DevOps side, that's not that simple. I mean, it's a lot more complicated. All right, so going back to Vue, I mean, we talked a little bit about components. So you can kind of organize your whole Vue app in components. You do have ways of passing information, which are usually called props, into your component, which you can then manipulate. There's a way to emit events back from your component outside to your parent component. So you can use custom events. There's even ways, I think this is something that it's not as easy to do in Angular. They do have a way to do it, but I don't think it's as elegant. And I don't know enough about React if you can do as much, but there's something called slots in Vue.js, which is a way to create dynamic content and have it between your opening and closing tags of your components. You can put data in there and you can then display that data in different places. That basically gets passed on into the component itself, and you can kind of choose different places where you want to put that. And then you can even pass data back from your component into the parent component using scope slots. And it's just kind of a neat way of creating components. And I think I'm going to go on a little rant here. This is something that I think a lot of junior devs have problems with, is when they first look at either React or Vue or any of these frameworks, you need to try to take different parts of pages and different things you're doing. You need to break it up into smaller parts. But it does take some skill and some thought to be able to create really good components that are can be reusable throughout your app, or at least make sense. And what you tend to happen with a lot of developers that are starting off with when they create components, it's pretty much, and this is okay in a lot of instances because you still are taking a problem, breaking up into smaller pieces, but their components are so coupled with the parent component that they're on that they're almost like, you can only put it in this one place. Otherwise, it completely breaks if you try to use it anywhere else. So trying to create like really good, reusable, thoughtful components is difficult.
Yeah, and I think that's something that comes with experience. So I know that part of my job, so I run essentially the front end of the web app that we're working on, and we have anywhere from 6 full-time devs to, with contractors, up to like 15. And so I'm sort of managing that. And I would say that when I'm working with some people who are a little bit junior, whether it's in years of experience or just skill set, right? I typically tell them, build this component as if it was part of a component library. Forget that. Forget the context of the application. Forget that. That doesn't matter. You don't care about that. What you care about is that it's a modal. All right. Like, what you care about is that you can pass a title to it, that you can pass items to the footer, and all that sort of stuff. I try to help that. And it's something a lot of people struggle with. To your earlier point, when you were talking about slots in Vue, Angular does have something like that with ng content, where they call it scope. But essentially, you can then render where it is. And there's a couple different ways to do it. There's the right way and the wrong way. But the right way is that you have what is called a HTML reference. That might be to, like, I just did this on Friday, which is saying where that should be rendered in your, you know, generic component. But it's a scoped, I don't know, they might even call them scope slots, but scope for sure.
Yeah, I've used ng content before, and I remember trying to do some of the things. You can put different references in your component of where you want the ng content stuff to appear, and it felt like just wasn't as elegant, definitely not as elegant as Vue.js. I haven't looked at it recently with Angular 9 to see if that has been updated at all, but it was becoming not as easy to use.
Yeah.
And I can't talk for React, so I'm not sure exactly how they do it in React.
Yeah, there's the bootleg way is you assign a CSS class, which I wish they would take out, but it's pretty simplistic in Angular, where you just put a directive on one part and throw it on the error reference on one part, and it gets rendered in the other component. But there's definitely a hacky way of doing it.
Now, I don't think Angular has a way to do scope slots in the way where you can pull information from your child component and put it back into the parent component using a slot. I know there's ways you can emit information back from your child component to your parent component. And of course, there's services and all that. But I don't think it has that exact way of doing it. So you can, but basically in Vue.js, you can create, and this is a little bit more advanced, is you can create renderless components. I know you can do that in React too. And renderless components basically have no template at all. So you have no HTML or CSS, but it has access to everything in between the opening and closing tags of your slot of your component, basically the slot information. And then you can do all sorts of things where you do manipulations of that data that's in between it. So it's pretty interesting.
One thing I really liked about Vue is their dynamic component, which is something Angular doesn't have off the bat, which is the ability to dynamically render. So sometimes, let's say we're hitting a headless CMS and we might have a component structure where we can pass in what that component is, and it will then go and, you know, pull the component information and then render it accordingly, which you have to basically, and I've written my own dynamic component in Angular. You have to do what I consider black magic to get this to work properly.
So you can have the component be like a string and then dynamically change it on the fly in Vue. There's a hacky way to doing that in Angular?
I mean, yeah. So basically you have to add it as an entry component, and then you have to use the renderer library and create a definition and all this sort of stuff. It's possible and it works fine, and you basically do it the same way, but you have to build that. It doesn't come, and I've built this in a couple different apps before, but it should be something that is a standard part of Angular. It doesn't seem like something that, and I think part of it is whoever the brainchild of Angular is, I don't think they like that. And I can understand that. We don't want you to dynamically inject components. And they've made it pretty clear by what you have to go through to make it work that that's their stance, as far as I can tell. Oh, you there?
Oops, one other really cool thing. I had you on mute there. Sorry. One other really cool thing I like about Vue is the Vuex, which is the state management system inside Vue. It's based off like the flux type pattern, which Redux and NGRX, which are the other state management systems, are based off of. But I think being using NGRX and using Redux, I think Vuex is much simpler than those other two and a lot less boilerplate. There's some boilerplate, but I think it's just really nice. So what you're going to find in any kind of application that you create, be it Vue, React, or Angular, at some point you're going to have state in that application that you need to share either between different routes or different components. And having a library that makes that easy for you is the way to go. And I really enjoy using it, and it makes a whole lot of sense. Also, on that point, Vue is opinionated in the way that they have one library that it really recommends that you should use for state management, which is Vuex, and they have one library they really recommend for routing, which is the Vue Router. So unlike React, where it's still not quite, it's not really clear which ones you should use, it's more opinionated that way. You can't always break that mold. There is other state management systems in Vue that aren't quite as popular. And I don't know if there's any other routers though. And that's also very similar to Angular, if you want to mention that. Angular has very opinionated in the way you create Angular apps.
Yeah, Angular typically has all the core packages that you would find yourself needing, routing and everything else, forms. And there's something the Angular teams is building and maintaining. That's part of what I like about it. And it's part of what I'm not a super big fan of React about, is because it's so let you do your own thing. Everyone does their own thing slightly differently. And then you end up having to work on projects that someone like this library. So now our whole project so tightly coupled that it has some issues. But I do like that aspect about Vue, where they at least make a recommendation for what they think is going to work best with their projects.
This is just a quick high level overview of Vue. I think we've covered a lot today, and you know, I could go on forever. They do have some TypeScript support. It's getting better, especially in Vue 3. They're having something called, they're calling it the Composition API that's coming to Vue 3, which makes it a lot easier to compose your Vue apps. It's completely additive. You can always leave the what's called the Options API that they have now in there. It kind of reminds people of hooks, though they don't want to use the name hooks because people get it confused with the lifecycle hooks that Vue has. And yeah, and it has plugins and filters and things called mix-ins. So it has quite a bit of things to it. So I'm not going to get into all that today, but I'm pretty happy with Vue. It's a pretty awesome framework, and you know, I've been teaching it for a while, and in fact, I'm doing a class right now on it, which is the first time I've ever taught kind of a small group of people. Actually, I wouldn't call it a small group of people, quite a big, you know, a few dozen people teaching Vue at the same time, which is really awesome. And just deep diving into all these concepts, it's been great. Do you have anything else to add?
Nope. Keep it in your sights.
All right.
Like Vue. You get it? No? All right. That's all I got.
Hey guys, thanks for watching. If you want to find more about what I'm up to, go to dylanisrael.com.
And if you want to know what I'm up to, you can check out my website at eric.video. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us out. And if you do, you might even be featured on our next episode. Don't forget to check out the website at selftaughtornot.com. From there, you can sign up for a mailing list where we give away free courses and a bunch of cool stuff. And we'll also let you know when the next episode comes out. And finally, if you didn't know, we have a Facebook group. It's called Code Tech and Caffeine. We have over 10,000 members, and you can find the link at selftaughtornot.com. So come join us. We have tons of developers willing to help you guys, mentor you guys. Check it out. Just make sure you go to selftaughtornot.com and check out the Code Tech and Caffeine link. Thanks, and take care.